Good evening. Greetings to everyone in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We all know what, we all know what a guarantor is. And sometimes when we read in the papers of people absconding, and to be a guarantor usually requires a lot of money on the part of the guarantor. Otherwise, the person who wants to get out of prison or to go overseas, the government or some other parties may require someone to pay the penalty if this person doesn't return for whatever reason. And so to be a guarantor usually is costly. And if you have been working hard to save up enough money for your family and for your retirement, and to be a guarantor, you may put that entire amount at risk. If not all of it, maybe even most of it, let's say. What you have worked so hard for is now in the hands of another person, whom you may regard as a very good friend, a very trustworthy friend, a maybe a childhood friend, a bosom buddy, or someone who may have helped you before out of a very difficult situation, or help your family or your children. Whatever the reason, you seem to put your trust in this person when he gives you his word. I promise you, I will not abscond. You can trust me. Your whatever you put up to be my guarantor, I promise you, it's safe. It will return to you. It will not be confiscated. It will not be penalized. And so until that day or date of that person's return or the person's appearance at a particular trial, I'm sure you will feel very uneasy, even though the person is a very trusted friend, even though the person has promised you. But you never know, isn't it? I'm sure you have read enough from the newspaper, or you may have known by experience from your friends and family members, how difficult it is to have peace of mind when you put your entire life into the hand of another. Not your wife, not your children. I mean, to be a guarantor for your child, if your child were to be sent by you overseas, let's say for national service, well, the government says you need to be the guarantor for your child to be able to let him go overseas for some period of time. And so it is your son, that's fine, it's your son. You know that his time overseas depends on your financial support, and if you stop financing him, he will have no choice but to return. So in that sense, we are not saying that absolutely you cannot be a guarantor, period. Like the Ten Commandments. No, you can under certain special circumstances, especially within your family and as a duty to your children as a parent. But this is in the context of someone other than your children or your wife, not within your immediate family. Even outside of the immediate family can also be included here. Your niece, your nephew, even your siblings. Because you and I know that this book, as remember, is for a believer. Your life in Christ is also at stake. It's not just yours. It's not just your life of diligence and hard work and hard labor that is at risk. The little nest egg that you have spent the bulk of your years building, securing, and then now suddenly, out of the blue, in one simple stroke of the pen, you sign that document. You hand that entire amount, including the holy witness of Christ in your life. It could even be your whole ministry if I am a pastor and I'm a guarantor to someone. And if it makes me a bankrupt or if it cripples my finances to the point whereby I cannot focus and concentrate in my preparation of my messages. So there's a high price to pay other than just simply dollars and cents. And therefore, the counsel in these five verses of Proverbs 6 is very simple and straightforward. Do not be one at all. And then, of course, in today's notes, it is not usual for me to include so many other Bible passages, but all in all, other than the first three points from Proverbs 6, verse 1 to 5, I have also included other Bible verses also from the book of Proverbs only, regarding the many different aspects or warning concerning being a guarantor or a suretyship. Right, that's what it means, surety. Be a guarantor. Be someone sure. All right. If someone is in trouble, the Lord, the creditor, whoever, I will take his place. You punish me if he is not around. That is what is my surety. I will pay his penalty on his behalf if he doesn't show up. Your life belongs to Christ. It's not your own anymore. And if you hand over your entire life, which includes the testimony of Christ, to another, the scripture here says, Jesus says basically, you don't have the right to do so. Plain and simple. I mean, this is for a Christian, right? The book of Proverbs, all of it is to teach already born again person how to conduct his life on this earth as a Christian, a holy witness. And this evening is to be a guarantor. So the first thing we note, that you put yourself into a snare. That's what it is. My son, if thou be surety for thy friend, right? It's an outsider. If thou hast stricken thy hand with a stranger, not even a friend, someone. Maybe your son's friend, or your wife's friend, whatever, whoever. So a stranger to you, but not a stranger to your loved one, whom you want to please. And the person begs you, can you please be a guarantor to this person? Thou art snared with the words of thy mouth. You trap yourself by your words. When you say yes, the moment you say yes, I will be. That's it. It's not like someone else snared you. To be a guarantor, it's of your own free will. Somebody have said certain things to you. And you may trust this person, right? Because you have to trust someone in order for you to hand over your entire life to that person and put it into his hands. That is a very, very dangerous thing to do. And so the Bible here says, you put yourself into a snare. You know what a snare is, right? It's a trap. And you are in the trap until the trap springs. And so you remain there as the prey, inside the trap. Now, it's in the hands of a stranger or your friend, whether he's going to set the trap or not. The moment he set the trap, he springs it, you're dead. Do you want to put yourself in this kind of vulnerability? Because of his word. You really trust this person so much that you're prepared to do that your entire life of holy witness for Christ. In my case, my entire ministry. Because how do I concentrate if my entire life savings that I have saved, that is supposed to be for my wife and my children, is now in the hands of a total stranger? And until that day or date when it runs out, where he will keep his word and return or meet that appointed date, it's over. I will remain in this very, very sad, tense situation within my heart. No peace. How to have peace? Every time when I think of the situation, peace will fly away. It's like as if my peace will have wings, you know. When I don't think about it, when I compartmentalize and ignore it, maybe I can pretend to have some semblance of peace and concentrate and focus in what I'm doing in the present. But the moment that person's name is mentioned, the moment the word guarantor is mentioned, the moment this snare is brought to remembrance, I'm reminded of it, I will have no peace of heart. I know that, even in terms of its theory, just the thought of it, I tremble. Would I put my entire family, myself, into this kind of sad state that is so unnecessary? No one forced me. The devil did not try to trap me. No one pointed a gun at my head. I willingly, openly, by my own words, I put myself into the situation. And to drive home the point, you notice that verse 2, thou art taken with the words of thy mouth. It's a synonymous parallelism that means to drive home the importance of this outcome. God wants all of his children to be wise. It's the same thought, same point, right? To be taken means to be captured, to be seized. The person captures your entire testimony. And can you imagine the holy name of Christ in the hands of another stranger? Where our testimony, as you and I know, has always been our own. Our own management, our own concern, our own protection. But to be a guarantor, you put yourself into a snare whereby your entire material nest egg, your entire reputation, your entire ministry and Christ's name, all four of them, are now put into a snare, into a trap by you, captured by that person whom you regard as a friend. So what should I do if someone were to come up to me and ask me to be a guarantor? You have to kindly, gently tell the person, I'm sorry, I cannot. I can help you in any other way, but not in this. Not a guarantor. Because he basically held you ransom. And the Bible is very clear. You are not permitted by God to do that. Because you are now God's child. Very straightforward and simple. Sometimes we fail to see and realize that it is a trap. Friendship, relationship can blind our good sense into something that we think it's an act of kindness. But then once you're in it, you know it's almost impossible for you to get out unless the person himself releases you. You know that, right? Whomever that you make yourself a guarantor to, the government, the authorities, or this creditor, whoever that person is, he's not going to release you. Because as far as he's concerned, as far as the government is concerned, he's not just going to simply let you be, because the law in its own will not permit it. Because the law demands that the only way this person is released or permitted to go out of the country for whatever reason is because of a guarantor. That's by law. And once you have made it, only the person who now holds you ransom can release you, can undo it. Find another guarantor, find something else. He has to go to the government, all right, I'm coming back now. So I do not need a guarantor, I'm not leaving the country, I will stay put. Whatever it is, he's the one who will release you and return to you the management of your funds, which is basically your own anyway. Your testimony, your peace of mind, and the holy name of Christ. All these will be returned to you the moment he lets you go. I thank you, but I do not need you to be my guarantor anymore. Thank you. And so that brings us to the second point. To get back your peace of mind, you have to go to the person urgently. Don't procrastinate. I'm not sure whether you are a guarantor at this point of your life. I hope not. Because if you are, the counsel from God in verse 3 and verse 4 is, it is urgent. It is very, very urgent for you to get it undone. Get yourself out of it. Do this now, my son. Do this now. That means urgently, now. Not tomorrow, now. And deliver thyself. Now, the word deliver thyself repeats itself. In verse 5, it's the same thing. Where in verse 5, there is an imagery from God to help us understand the dire situation that you are in. So deliver yourself. Only you can get yourself out. So go to the person, in other words, deliver thyself when thou art come into the hand of thy friend. When you put yourself into this very sad, dangerous state of a guarantor. Go, humble yourself, beg if necessary, plead, do whatever it takes. If because of our friendship, please release me from this. Please, I beg you. That's the meaning of the word, make sure. Do it like someone who is begging and pestering. Keep at it. Keep at it. That's what it means. Can a person be his own guarantor? Probably if he has lots of money. Confiscate his passport. His property, whatever it is, I do not know enough of the law of Singapore. But he has to release himself, deliver thyself. That is God's clear injunction and command. Get out. As soon as possible. Or else, you will never have peace of mind. Everything in your life will be at risk and in jeopardy until this is resolved. And you are back in control of your entire life and the holy witness and testimony of Christ. You and I know that to be a guarantor of all these four aspects of your life, that one that is most critical is the name of Christ. Because this is a spiritual book. Money matters, even if you have it confiscated. All you suffer is physical. And your family will suffer together with you if you lose it. If the person absconded, runs away. Break his word to you. Sure, you'll no longer be a friend. You'll be upset and angry, but he just disappeared and there's nothing you can do. And so, the creditor or the one that you put yourself as a guarantor to will now come after you. And by law, you're going to lose everything that you put as a guarantee. That's the law. And if it's just simply physical material, it's hard work, it's hardship that comes after that. It's all gone. But most important of all, is it not the spiritual? The holy witness in the name of Christ. The entire testimony. And if it makes me into a bankrupt, you know, as a bankrupt, I cannot be a pastor. It's in our constitution. It's in our law. I cannot be a pastor if I'm a bankrupt. I cannot be trusted with anything that pertains to finances. I can't go to any church camp as a bankrupt. Right? I cannot leave the country without permission. Where do you get money to do this and do that, to travel overseas? Where do you get the money from? It's a very, very terrible state and condition to be in as far as a spiritual life and witness and testimony a concern. We don't realize how important it is to protect the holy witness of Christ in our lives. The Lord knows, and therefore the Lord wants us to know. And to drive home the point, the Lord used an illustration in verse 5 to tell us that it has to be done. It's not an option. Your friendship, for whatever feelings that you may feel or have, the price is too high. You have to get it undone and deliver yourself. Give not sleep to thy eyes, nor slumber to thy eyelids. Get out immediately. Because you have lost enough sleep as is, right? And when you do not have enough sleep, everything in your life, it's a wreck. Your relationship with people will be one of short-temperedness. You'll be impatient. You will maybe become half of what you are in terms of effectiveness because you can't sleep. You worry and worry and worry until this is over and done. And all this is of your own making. You snare yourself by your own words, by your own commitment, by your own signature. Nobody else but your own. And God made that abundantly clear to us. Sleep. Don't go to sleep until you get it done. Please. Give not sleep to thy eyes, nor slumber to thy eyelids. Deliver thyself as a roe from the hand of the hunter, as a bird from the hand of the fowler. You know, a hunter and a fowler. Fowler means a bird catcher. Their aim and agenda is to catch their prey no matter what. And they will do so very patiently. And that is exactly what you have landed yourself in. Your friend, God says, is now the hunter and the fowler. You are the prey. Do you see being a guarantor as such? That you have become a prey to your own words and your own commitment. Not a helper, not a good friend, but someone who has trapped himself into a state and a condition whereby God says, beg for mercy, do whatever it takes, get yourself out. That's the only way. Otherwise, you will remain in a state of the bird that is in a snare or the roe that is in the hand of the hunter. Because if you do not learn, you're going to be a guarantor another time, another time, and another time. And when are you going to say no? Because you did it to friend number one. You'll do to friend number two, because the friend number two will say, you did it for him. Am I not a good friend, a better friend to you than him? And then your heart will soften. You're going to do it again. Where is it going to end? Where is it going to stop? Until you really, really get betrayed. Don't use the logic and argument, but so far as the guarantor, all my friends, they have kept their word. I have not lost anything. They all have been good friends. You want to wait until you have a friend that is false, a bad friend, before you learn? You're not going to learn from the wisdom of God and the counsel of God, forgetting that the name of Christ is also at risk. It's not just your belongings and your own reputation as being a very, very foolish person. He will continue to put himself into the position of the prey from the hunter and the fowler. Because that's exactly what this world is like. That's why it is so important that you take heed to what God has warned us. Do not be a guarantor. There is too much at risk for you to be so kind. Not in the good sense, but in the foolish sense. Because other people are at risk, your family, and the name of Christ. Let's look at other verses concerning the guarantor. Chapter 20, verse 16 of Proverbs. It says, take his garment that is surety for a stranger, and take a pledge of him for a strange woman. So if you really want to be a guarantor, loan someone something, whatever it is, take a guarantee, take something. If you want to be kind, it needs collateral, as they say. Take something that will make sure that whatever you put yourself into, it will be returned to you. Because to be a guarantor, the Bible tells us, these people out there, that's what they're going to do. They're going to take a collateral from you if you are the guarantor, right? Now, if you want to give someone a release for some other activity, you ask him, fine, I will lend you something, but I need a guarantor, right? I need a collateral. I need something that you have. You want to lend someone some money, whatever it is, whatever your business might be. That's what people do. And so when someone makes you the guarantor, the pledge, to a strange woman or to a stranger, you take a garment, right? When you loan something to someone, you lend something to someone. That's what you would do, isn't it? You need collateral. You want to become a collateral? That's basically what it is. So this verse basically gives another perspective of who we are, and I'm sure you already know by now what it means, what it entails. You just become a collateral. You know, in life, sometimes when people want to borrow some money, I would rather give that person, if I think that the person deserves that help, I would rather not lend. And if the person wants to borrow, usually when we lend someone certain money, we don't take any collateral. Right? Alright, I will lend you. We're not like a pawn shop dealer. A pawn shop dealer will always want collateral, right? You bring your expensive watch. You want to borrow $10,000. You examine and check and make sure your watch is way, way more expensive than $10,000. And then you give him a deadline. Alright, within a couple of months, you have to return the $10,000, maybe plus interest. And then I will return this $30,000 watch to you. But within 2 months, if you do not return, that $30,000 watch is mine. Right? That's a pawn shop. Now, when you lend someone some money, you do not need collateral. Because the person is a friend. But to a stranger, a strange woman, you may. Right? And that's what a collateral is. And that's exactly what a guarantor is too, isn't it? You put yourself at risk. If this person owes you a debt, he doesn't pay up, he runs away, you will pay, right? You will pay, you will. You sign, you will. You have to. And this is the way of the world. This is exactly what they would do. This is what you would do, right? But when the table is turned the other way around, would you want to put yourself into this state and condition to be someone else's collateral? I'm sure you would not. Anybody, if you want to loan someone a lot of money that you have earned with your sweat and tears over a long period of time, you want a collateral, you want his home. If you don't pay up, you lose your home. Something like that. You become like that to that person, you know that. When you put yourself as a guarantor, basically another word is you become a collateral to someone else. And you make him out of debt, whatever it is, and you become the penalty to free him. That's what God says. You cannot do that. You must not do that. You cannot be so foolish to do that. Chapter 22, verse 26, very quickly. Chapter 22, verse 26. Be not thou one of them that strike hands, or of them that are sureties for debt. You see? Another very clear instruction. Do not take the debt on behalf of another person. If he doesn't pay, you pay. Because sometimes you don't help that person. That person will continue to be in debt. Because they know that you will be the guarantor that will always get him out of it. You know, when a person is a gambler, Very often he will put himself into great debt. And even if it is your own son, will you clear his debt for him? You think that will be helping him? He is addicted to gambling. You clear all his credit card debt, let's say. You pay it up as a father. Alright, you pay it up. I promise you that I will never gamble again. Yeah, maybe for, excuse me, next 2 weeks. And then after that, he will be back into his gambling. And then within a short period of time, he's going to be in debt again. And you and I know credit card debt is a nightmare because of the compound interest that will continue to go up and up. And if you don't pay, it will keep on increasing. You owe $5,000 very easily, very quickly. It will mushroom to double, $10,000, just like that, because of compound interest. The credit card companies are very smart. And then the longer he delays, the more he will have to pay up. And then you step in again. You think you're helping the debtor, the one who's in debt all the time? By being a guarantor, debt will always cover my bill, whatever I'm in debt. My debt will always be that. You think you're helping the person? You're definitely not helping yourself. Because very often, you're going to find your relationship with your son almost gone. Because your son is bleeding you. And then the relationship with your wife is going to be tense. If you cannot agree. You want to help your wife, say stop, no. Your wife wants to help you, say no, I can't, don't help, we should not help anymore. What is the real actual help when this person is in debt? Of course, if this person is in debt because of a poor business acumen, even that, you still have to be very judicious and very careful whether you want to clear his debt or not as a guarantor. Because the person can easily take advantage of you and get himself into one business after another, kept failing, another business, and then you're in trouble again. Sometimes being a guarantor is not the best way to help the person in debt. And I'm sure you know that. For a gambling addict, you've got to get him to cut and destroy all his credit card. You've got to do whatever it takes. And then even if you do that, sometimes you may have to get him to pay for his own mistakes. Don't build him up anymore. Let the bank go after him. And if he has to declare bankrupt, let him learn. Declare bankrupt and let him have a taste of a life of a bankrupt so that he may never forget, and get him out of his addiction simply because of the fear of the penalty that you cannot keep bailing him out of it, and let him experience the pain of the consequences of his addiction. Sometimes out of a misplaced goodness and kindness of our heart, we put ourselves in the position to bail people out of their problems and their debt. Isn't that what the guarantor does? And God's warning is, be wise. Be really, really wise. You are not helping the person by keeping him out of the consequences of his wrongful action over and over and over again. Because you are feeding him to keep doing what is wrong and hurting himself by just simply clearing out his debt. Another example, chapter 11, verse 15. It is definitely not safe. 11, verse 15. He that is surety for a stranger shall smart. That means you hurt yourself. And he that hateth suretyship is sure. Right? Is sure. The one who hates being a guarantor, he will continue to have peace of mind. He protects himself. He doesn't hurt himself. Smart for it. It means you hurt yourself. You mar your own life. It's like cutting yourself. Cutting your own witness and image that you have been building very carefully because you are very careful in your money. You spend only what you can earn. And it's always minus 10% after tithe and offering. And so you are very careful. But the moment you become a guarantor, it's like someone who is scratching, destroying that life of care and judicious spending, wise spending. What you have done by just one act of being a guarantor, you destroy that entire life of judicious spending. That's what it says. That's what it means, right? If you're a surety for a stranger, you shall smart. You're going to hurt yourself. You feel the pain. You feel the heat. You're going to feel the wounds. But if you hate being a guarantor, you keep yourself at peace and safe. Why you spend your whole life learning how to spend whatever God has given to you, entrusted to you, right? Because to be in debt is a horrible feeling. That's why I thank God that when I pay up my final installment for my HDB flat, the feeling is very nice. The feeling of having no debt. Every credit card bill, I make sure I pay to the very last cent every month. And sometimes when I forget, I pay the penalty, I call up the bank, I'm so sorry, please be merciful. I intend to pay, but I forgot, please check my track record, I've always paid up on time, please. Because the penalty is painful, it's very large. And then thank God, time and time again, they are merciful, and I thank them profusely when they clear that debt, or not debt, that penalty. That has been the life of a Christian that you have been carefully, carefully living. So that, financially speaking, you just have zero debt. It's a very nice feeling. But the world's idea of living is a life of debt. I don't know how someone can have that kind of life and sleep like a baby at night. When you purposely put yourself in debt. We know in Singapore, when you get married, when you start a family, even with government housing, we are all in a particular debt. But you have to be very careful and wise to buy a house, to get a house that is within your ability to pay every month, trusting in God to provide every month, every year. Don't get yourself into a position where it will wreck your spiritual well-being and your life. That's what we always counsel. Young couple, always begin your married life with only one person's salary. And if the Lord were to bless you with a child, one parent can easily, readily resign and look after the child full time without any financial burden. Because you have been living on one person's salary and the other person's salary is an extra bonus until the child comes. It goes straight into the savings. Careful. And then you can throw everything away the moment you become a surety, and that's what the word smart means. It's a person who just simply marked, cut something that is beautiful, that is carefully painted like a painting. And that painting is your life, your financial life, that you've been carefully painting, and it is so beautiful, so nice. The moment you become a guarantor, it's like a person taking a knife and then cut the painting yourself. That's what it is. And that's why the Lord warns again. It is not safe to be a guarantor. Not safe at all. You destroy what you spend many, many years, maybe even a lifetime, carefully building and building a life without debt. But the moment you become a guarantor, you are into the biggest debt of your life. Your entire life is now in a person's hand. Now, we all know what a debt is. You have to pay housing, mortgage. That is the biggest debt. Then you have to buy a vehicle, also pay a car debt. Right? Finance. But be very mindful and careful. When you put yourself in these kind of positions, it's a terrible feeling. And you become so burdened. I must keep my job. I must keep my job. I must keep my job. And therefore, you sacrifice so much of your spiritual well-being, and your service in church all will have to be compromised. Cut down, because you have to spend time to make that kind of money to finance all your mortgages. It's a terrible life. But if you are wise, as a Christian, live a life debt-free. And once you're debt-free, don't get yourself into debt again by being a guarantor. That's what it says. That's what it means. It is not safe for you. And finally, verse 18 of chapter 17, it is foolish. That's the final point. It is foolish. A man void of understanding striketh hands and becometh surety in the presence of his friend. Void of understanding. Bankrupt of understanding. When you shake hands and become a guarantor to your friend. And you, I'm sure, know of how many friendship has been ruined because of this as well. How many friendship has been ruined because you become a guarantor and then you pester, the person says, no, I cannot, I need you. You see, that the friendship will never be the same again. Right? Remember our main text? Do whatever it takes to get yourself out. Deliver thyself. And when you go up to the person and tell the person, I want to stop being a guarantor, he won't let you. You insist, he won't let you. You insist. What do you think will happen to the friendship? But if you have not put yourself in that position in the first place by kindly telling the person, I cannot be a guarantor. I can be a friend, but not as a guarantor. Lord, I don't trust you. The Bible is very clear. I cannot put the holy witness of Christ in my life into your hands. I'm sorry. Because that's exactly what it is. That's what the Lord says. You are void of understanding if you do not take heed to God's warning of you cannot be a guarantor at all to someone outside of your immediate family. And even in your immediate family, it is not absolute. You still have to be very careful and very judicious, even if it involves your son or your daughter, especially when it comes to an addiction. Whatever it is, you still have to be very, very judicious and careful. Why? You know the answer. The holy witness of Christ is at stake. It's not just your name and your finances. The holy witness of Christ is priceless. It doesn't just simply come after just a day of witness. It takes a lifetime for you to build up a holy witness of Christ where people look at your life and say that there is a holy Christian. I have experienced his holy witness in my life. It takes time for you to build that kind of holy reputation that you are a godly, righteous, mature believer that can help a lot of people for Jesus' sake. You're going to throw all that away by being a guarantor to an outsider, a stranger, a friend? You're not helping anyone. So be very mindful and careful not to be a guarantor, except under very, very small and special circumstances, very few circumstances. Because the moment you do, even those few circumstances within the family, you have to be very mindful and careful. Because the risk is still the same. The difference is not in the stranger's hand, it's not in the friend's hand, but in your son's hand, your daughter's hand, but it's still in someone else's hand. So be very mindful and careful. Even if your son or your daughters are involved. Why do they need a guarantor? Why do they need you to be a guarantor in the first place? Think very wisely and carefully. Because you belong to God in Christ. You're no longer your own. You have been redeemed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. So be wise. And the question, therefore, should Christians be a guarantor? The answer is clear. You cannot. And you must not. And if you already are, don't waste another minute. Deliver thyself from the snare that you have put yourself into by striking hands and put yourself as a guarantor where the holy witness of Christ is now in the hands of another. Let us pray. Our merciful, loving Heavenly Father, help us to realize and understand that in this world of ours, in something that may appear so innocuous, like being a guarantor to someone, help us to be wise. Help us to learn from what you have instructed to us so clearly in these few verses of the book of Proverbs concerning the pitfalls and the danger and what it means to be a guarantor. Where our entire life and testimony for our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, is now in the hands of another person. Oh Lord, how foolish it is for us to risk damaging the holy witness that you have helped us to build all these many years and destroy it because of one foolish mistake of becoming a guarantor to put ourselves and our testimony into the hands of another person's behavior and conduct. O Lord, may Thou be gracious to grant us that understanding, that illumination of how we must protect and take care of the holy image of Jesus Christ, that you have given us the honor and the privilege to carry with us everywhere we go. May Thou be merciful and gracious to give us this understanding to help others, but not in helping putting the holy witness and our own lives at risk of being ruined. Forgive us, O Lord, of all our sins. In Jesus' name we give thanks and pray. Amen.